as well.
This call is being recorded.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, what I'm hoping is, with the exception of, you know, unfortunately Denise, but I'm sure you'll, when you get the questions, you'll be able to even say, well, you know, I'm at that point, or I've already answered that to the satisfaction of where I want to go with my self-mastery. But the reason why I chose the Four Companions, the Four Agreements, the companion book, was because it, I think, forms, especially the first chapter, it helps us to appreciate how we've been programmed in the different ways from the time we were very young. And in order to become a master of ourselves, it's my belief that you have to know where you are coming from, where you are currently, before you can then go ahead and make some changes. And I also thought that the Four Agreements fit very well with Jason's The Simple Truth, and the especially the first chapter that we're working on now, which was domestication, really supports the first of the four truths, which is the content of my consciousness is the content of my world. So you have to understand the beliefs that you've been programmed with. Do they still hold validity? Do you still agree with them? And if you find that they are hobbling you and are making you fitting the role of either the judge or the victim, then that's not really fitting in with our purpose here as members of the super beings. So I also wanted to mention that I hope everybody has had an opportunity to read Jason's book, The Simple Truth. He had provided the download link, because as I go through things, I refer back to his book in terms of, in particular, starting with page, what I have is 15, and going onward. He gives you various exercises to do that would help. Sorry about that. I think we're either having a thunderstorm here or...
Oh, no.
thunder and lightning my dogs don't like. Sorry about that. Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
But anyway, starting with thoughts and actions are what create the content of your world. What he stresses is you take responsibility that whatever you see, whatever you experience, whoever you bring into your world was your creation, and you have to accept full responsibility for everything that you do, you think, you are, and that's presented to you that you either have or you don't have, because you created it. And that's really the first step in self-mastery. Part of that is, and as we'll go further into the workshop, once we identify our beliefs and decide whether or not we would agree with what we've been programmed or not, the biggest part will be is being what I call the witness or the observer of ourselves, our thoughts, our emotions when we get caught up in a drama that's outside of ourselves. So I really liked, and I wanted to stress this because I don't remember if I did it the last call, but when you do encounter something that's of a lower vibration that you put out, and I think I used this as a personal example during the last call, that I saw I was involved in a little drama that I created, and then I realized afterwards that I had created, and I laughed the whole way. But Jason does have this wonderful exercise of using the purifying flames to change those that what you put out in terms of energy, without in terms of thought, in terms of emotion, in a particular drama situation that you find in everyday life, to not negate necessarily, but to purify that, to change it from a heavy, low vibe to something that's light and pure and doesn't stick with your surrounding drama, and you can then go on, hopefully, from there, and see where you got sucked in, and then continue to make corrections in your course as you go along. But I find, because I'm still doing it, it's a constant stepping outside of myself almost, and watching as I'm maneuvering through my day. And the more that I can just let things go, and that's something else, let it go, or accept that I presented it to myself and I go, why did this happen? Okay, why did I bring this to me? Why did I have this person come and push my buttons, and how did they push my buttons? As long as I can not be the victim, as well as not being a judge of that other person, that they are wrong and I'm right, then I can see how I'm weaving a drama, and I can extract myself from that and not let it affect me. And when Jason mentions, you know, being in the flow, it really, when you're in it, it's just so magical. I mean, I have days that I have to pinch myself sometimes. It just flows like magic. I mean, and I'm not even creating it consciously with my mind. I'll start out and I'll have to run to one job or another job. I do these little jobs to get extra income during the day. And things will just flow like clockwork, or if I'm running late, everything, I'll get all the green lights, the green traffic lights. If it's a day that the parking lot is usually full because it's crowded, it's a weekend or something, as I drive in, I'll go, gee, it would really be nice to have a space right in front. And lo and behold, there's a space right in front. Somebody just pulls out. So when that happens, it's just, I don't know how to explain it. It just makes life so much easier. So my hope is that as you've gone through the first chapter and completed most of it, it's going to form a foundation for all of you, and I'm still doing it too, to find out how we can get into that flow. Because once you're in the flow, I'm telling you, it's just, I turn around and go, wow, oh, wow, that really happened? Oh, that's fantastic. I'm constantly going, wow, that's fantastic. So, and I find I laugh a lot during the day, like a kid being delighted. And other times I'll laugh at myself for being, you know, kind of being caught up a little bit in the drama, but not totally, because I've watched the drama unfold as I'm acting in it. So, I think that's about what I wanted to say to everybody right now, is please, while we're going through the four agreements, please keep referring back to Jason's The Simple Truth and see how the book supports, the exercises in the book support what Jason has written, because it's all been said before and Jason puts it so nice and simply, and he also gives various tools and methods to, if you do get caught up, you just say, okay, I got caught in that one. That's one. That's two. I see it. The important thing is you see it. You recognize that it happened. And once you can recognize that it happened, you can make the course correction. And usually when you identify your role in it, you may get one more presentation of a similar type of situation that you then go, I know what's coming. I know this, and I'm not going to react in this way. I'm going to respond in this way because I know that I have control over this. And I accept that I created this, and this is not the outcome that happened before is not something that I want to have happen. So now I'm choosing this. So I'd like to open this up to folks who've gone through a majority, if not all, of the first chapter and see, have you had an opportunity as you go through your day to see how some of the changes that you've identified and made in your beliefs, have you seen that have an effect on your daily activities? And has that made things a little bit better for you? Feel free to jump in, anybody.
I just wanted to add real quick, because I think that one of the things you mentioned was the white flames, and which is, you know, similar for others that are familiar with the violet flame. Mm-hmm. But it's just different in that we're not, what am I trying to say here? If you're going through this process of becoming aware of your expressions, then it can become a exercise in self-flagellation to be like, oh God, now I'm, you know, now I feel guilty for judging. And I think that we have moments of expression that are very authentic, and you don't want to get into the habit of like suppressing it. So the white flames comes in to go at least kind of go clean it up, because I think part of our experience is we're sort of walking around in a psychic sea of intense emotion. Mm-hmm. And that's probably because people have sort of just not really cleaned up after themselves in terms of their thoughts. And I'm, you know, nowhere near like 100% control over it or anything like that. But I like using my pyramid and the white flames to go after like a particularly maybe nasty day, like the end of the day, like that just didn't go well at all. So, you know, sitting with the pyramid and visualizing like, you know, whatever thought stream or kind of whirlpool I was caught up in my head, like mm-hmm. going after that. Because I think it's important to express yourself, but also not necessarily leave a mess either. So that's part of the taking responsibility for your emotions, for your expressions, for your thoughts, but also having this action of kind of curtailing and shifting to a more relaxed attitude, maybe towards things that are stressful, and finding we don't need to go to victim or the judge role. Anyway, that's all that was a roundabout blather on. Very simple thing. Go ahead and express it.
Yeah, no, that was done. I appreciate that. That I think clarified what I was trying to say. You're not trying to beat yourself up. You're just trying to catch yourself when you kind of go off the deep. As I say, I went off the deep end today. You know, and you know it's. When you can recognize that you do that, and then you purify or put it to the flames and go, I recognize I did this. It's not something that made me feel good, okay? And I understand how I could have acted or spoke or thought that would have been a better response. So I want to purify this, the response I did provide, and step into a frequency, and you know, because everything is happening simultaneously in the now, when you change that old response or reaction to, and you visualize in your mind the one that would have made you feel better, then you step into that frequency, and that experience is part of you now, because you move. I don't know if I'm explaining it, but you shifting into
sense.
That.
So much of, you know, it's like that. There was a statement on the old site. I don't know if it's on this one, but it was like, it stopped me in my tracks when I heard it. It was like, observation and creation are exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get to a point where you can operate from that origination point of pure seeing without any of the like fear or lies kind of corrupting what it is that you're witnessing? So
That's difficult sometimes. The other day I had an experience. There was this young man, he's a homeless guy, or he's a street person on the little town I live in, and he was obviously either drunk or really, really high. And he came when I was walking, and he asked me if I had any spare change. And I judged him. You know, for that split second, I said to myself, brother, if I give you this, you're going to get high or drunk. And then I thought, so I fibbed to him. I lied. I said, sorry, brother, I just spent my last change. So I felt guilty, and then I lied, and I'm thinking, I'm beating myself up when I'm walking home. I said, how dare me? I said, it's none of my business what he did with that buck that I was going to give him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that first thing, I judged him. I tried to stop myself, but I did. You know, I judged him, and I don't like that. It's a difficult thing sometimes.
But I think the important thing is that you recognize that that happened, so that if you're presented with a similar situation, then you could give freely and just say, you know, whatever you feel you need to use this money for, go for it. I give it with love, and I give it with freedom.
Exactly. Thank you. You're right.
Beautiful. Yeah.
The judge chapter in this chapter one. Everything about this book is about identifying everything you believe to like really tight level details. And it's like, what's the name of your judge? So it's like automatically separating the judge from the true you, as it were. And then it's like, so that way, every time you have a judgment, there are four questions that you can ask. And there is, big deal, who cares, so what, and why not?
Yep. And that's so cool, isn't it? When you put it in that, when it's put in that perspective, you know?
Or, why does it matter that things have to be the way that the judge says they are?
Right. And the judge is really based on all the beliefs that you've been programmed with, that you've been taught that these are the rules. You know, and when you realize the rules don't really apply to me, I disagree with those, and you can create your own. And when you do that, that sense of freedom, and especially as you catch yourself being the judge or being the victim, then you're coming back into your own. You're coming back into your own power.
Yeah, I admit I was really surprised at when I did start catching myself to try, you know, so I can get on a different set of tracks, you know. And every time I catch myself, and I realized how often it was and how I had accepted that in myself for so long. And it was really kind of enlightening to see the way I was, and, you know, and by not doing those things, I mean, you can almost physically feel a shift in your vibration.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you're not just trying to, again, something that just came to mind, you're also not just trying to catch yourself when you go off the deep end. You got to also catch yourself when you succeed in doing what makes you feel good and giving yourself that pat on the back, because that's just as important as catching yourself when you need to make a correction. Because the more you can find yourself, it's like, you know, the old saying, catch somebody doing something right. And that was a business, a corporate thing. But seriously, catch yourself doing something right. Pat yourself on the back. Oh, God, that made me feel good. Because the more you do that as well, the more of that energy, the more of that frequency, the more of those experiences will start coming into your life, your journey.
And then as a parent, then you have like this other stream of energy that you're using, and you're trying to instill good things with your children so that they too will not be so judgmental and be more loving and accepting and that sort of thing. And when those moments would come, I'm going, oh, I wish I'd known about this stuff some years back. But at least, you know, I can have an influence at this point, even if it's kind of late in the game.
It's never too late. It's always now.
Well, they say you can't change what you can't acknowledge.
Right. That's it. And again, it's not being a harsh judge. It's just catching yourself and saying, that didn't work so well. Or that, again, didn't make me... I always try to go by what makes me feel good, because good is joyful. It makes me feel centered. It makes me feel confident. And not at the expense of anybody else, because usually when you feel good, then you've done something, said something, or acted in a certain way that usually made somebody else feel good as well.
Well, you become aligned, I guess.
Yeah. Yep. Anybody else had any experiences or insights from going through the first chapter? Or even, you know, Jason's book, The Simple Truth. Have you tried any of his methodologies and exercises that he provided there?
He has one that's like you could use your phone if you're not like a person that carries around a little notebook or something. But if you have in your phone like a little notepad or something, every time you make a judgment, keep like a tally. So you can kind of become more aware of like how often throughout the day. But and I wanted to say, a very close friend of mine was sharing with me something that she learned there. She was doing some like really intense, like deep therapy. And in the therapy, I don't know if this has anything to do with holographic repatterning, but one of the exercises that she was to do is to, I guess, maybe condition her nervous system to start to, it's almost like it's trying to cause the nerve networks in the brain or how that relates to thought patterns in the psyche or something. But the basic premise is exactly what you were saying, Nancy. Every time you feel something good, and it could be something so simple like a wonderful exchange you had with a stranger or the way the sun feels on your body, you take a minute and you sink into that feeling, like you absorb it, you drink it, and you anchor it into your body. And by doing that, it causes this shift to more experiences of less negative talk and more, it's like by focusing on that and drinking in that like wonderfulness, your mind starts to seek out and become more and more aware from the origination point of what feels good. And so that like it will generate more more good energy, more opportunities, more experiences, more receiving of all this like wonderful pleasure and beauty, and probably could be said to maybe it's a way to like reset or jumpstart yourself into universal flow, might be becoming more aware of those moments and then like and really taking them in, like absorbing them, feeling grateful for them and all that. So I just wanted to share that was a recent revelation that was shared with a good friend of mine.
Good. Awesome. Awesome.
It worked, by the way.
Yeah. Who was it?
Who was it?
You had said something and I spoke over you. Sorry.
Oh, no. Go ahead. You're all good.
Okay. One of the exercises when I was first started doing this work, and I still do it today, which may be of help to folks, is sometimes as you're going through your day, things happen so fast that you don't have the time to take 3 deep breaths and, you know, realize what happened and all that kind of stuff. But just before I fall asleep, when I lay down in bed, what I would do is I'd replay my day in my mind like a movie from the moment I got up until the time I went to bed. And it didn't take very long, maybe at the most, you know, a couple of minutes, 5 minutes, to replay the movie of my day. And I could see as I replayed it, without going, you know, verbatim in terms of an argument, if I had an argument or a discussion with somebody, but just going through that movie, I could see where I needed or wanted to make adjustments, as well as Mary provided an excellent example, where I felt good, and then give a list of go through my mind a list of the things I was really, really grateful for that particular day. Even as Mary said, just a little tiny thing, like I'll step out on my deck and there's a robin singing. What a nice way to greet the morning, you know. And so even just recognizing the little things, giving gratitude for those, as well as seeing where I may have come off the track. Not beating myself up, but recognizing that registered too. And then so that when I got up the next morning, I would say to myself, okay, today I'm going to be open, empty, receptive, and clear. And I'm not going to be led by my ego. I'm in control. I'm going to surrender my ego's need to control to my higher self, my meta self. And just surrender to the flow of the day and see where it takes me and see who I need to talk with, see what I need to do, where I need to go, outside of whatever my normal business day might have to be like. And just each day building on the one that went before. And it's a pretty interesting experience. But that's the vigilance, that's the constant review of where you were that day and where you want to go the next day. And each sets the stage or the tone for the next series of experiences you have.
Nancy, I have a question.
Sure.
So I know this person, well, I was like really triggered by this person like a couple months ago. And for some reason, it's like, it was such a big trigger that it's still imprinted in my system. Mm-hmm. And I've learned since then that this very same person with whom I've had this exchange with, has a reputation of just saying anything she wants to anybody. So I've been trying to understand how on earth I just like invited this person into my world that I don't even have any that great of a connection with. And I still can't find the answer, you know, how I'm responsible for what happened. So how important is it to have that clarity to move on? Because I'm stuck on not having that clarity,
okay.
But I do want to move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you keep replaying? Is it the same thing that gets presented to you each time you've either have an encounter, or was it just one encounter that you keep replaying in your mind over and over and over
exactly.
and over and over again?
It's that just one encounter I keep replaying in my mind over and over. And I saw that person twice, and I avoided her. I was actually rude to her.
Okay, so when I encounter people like that, and everybody does, I try to find out, see people like that, that push our buttons and come right in our face, they are trying to help us uncover something within ourselves that we need to acknowledge. And it could be something very, you know, that our subconscious has really tried to bury, because some people call it the shadow self, some people call it the dark side. And it's not always easy to try and find out what it is. Why, I guess my questions are, why did this person get under my skin, first of all? What did he say, he or she say, do, whatever? And then, is it something that the person said? Because obviously it's making me upset. And remember, each of us is a mirror for you are a mirror for me. I'm looking at you. You are my mirror, holding myself up so I can look at myself, inside myself. I know that's kind of convoluted, I'm sorry if I didn't put it in a good place. But we're all here to help each other see the purity, the thing inside that we've buried for whatever reason. Now, again, it's what emotion was triggered? What was it? Words? What sore spot did that person touch inside of you? And you may want to use some of the in Jason's The Simple Truth. I'm looking. Bear with me. The Course, Super Beings, the codes, in terms of, and it's under, if you go to page 25 and 26, if you have it, or when you look at his book, it's about letting it go and simple acceptance that this happened, and it happened for a reason. And he gives a couple of the symbols. One is source code 30, under the source code. You know those little codes that he has?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So there's either, if you can't find, no matter what you've tried to do, what it is that this person is trying to help you see and uncover for yourself that needs healing. It's not a condemnation. It's not a judgment. It most likely, and most of the times, it's a part of you that is like a hurt child, something that maybe happened a long time ago that you, something, you know, either with friends, family, whatever, and you have it buried. And this person is trying to help you bring it to your conscious mind, your conscious self, so you can look at it and say, gee, you know, I love you. I see what happened. I'm sorry you're feeling so hurt. You know, it's almost like you're taking a little child inside of yourself, which is you, and loving it and hugging it and telling it it's okay. The little child thinks it did something terrible and it can't be forgiven. And just go, if you can, uncover it. If you can't, no matter what you do, then go to the source codes. There's one for emotional, if this is something that's emotionally got you going, there's a code that Jason...
It's like explosive anger, which I hardly ever get angry, and I was like, and honestly, I was angry, this is how I look at it, I was angry that someone as so insignificant to me would make me angry. So, like, I'm angry for, I was, like, angry for even, like, being angry at that. It's some meta emotion going on.
Right. So how did this person bring this anger up in me? Well, maybe if you looked at it, if we are all the same self, if we're just little drops in this big ocean of self, meta self, God, the universe, then how can you get mad at God or yourself for making you angry? You know? Okay, turn it around. It's you. It's you. You in another form. You playing another role. You wearing a different human form that's trying to say, Winnie, Winnie, look at this. Look at this. And you're going, I don't want to see that. How dare you tell me that I have to look at that? You know? So, try using, I don't know, did you get your Merlin stone or your pyramid yet?
No.
I haven't.
She's waiting very patiently.
Okay. Do you have Alchem yet? Winnie, do you have the Alchemy Alchem?
Oh, she's been around forever.
When you're trying to find out the reason or what's happening, Alchem is really healing emotional pain.
Okay.
So I would use that, trying to sit quietly in a meditation, examining the whole situation, and then also using one or more of the source codes.
And okay.
Let it go, at least. If you can't identify it to try and acknowledge and heal it, then, you know, just say, you know, it's fine. And just send this person blessings. Thank you for trying to help me. Thank you for trying to help me. I'm sorry I responded in such a rejecting, judgmental, angry place. And I know you were trying to help me. And I appreciate it. And I send you love. And you know, put the rest of it to the purifying flames.
Okay.
Give that a try. And report back to me. No.
Hey Winnie, did you ever see any of Byron Katie's stuff?
No.
So she has so many videos. I mean, she's another kind of like teacher that will flip your polarities around, like so where you'll really figure out that it's not really the other person, it's you, like you're using that other person to judge yourself or to trigger you or to get you. This person makes me so mad. And there's like a series of questions that you can, she calls it the work, and it's like three questions and you turn it around and you flip it around and you sort of get to the heart of like what's really driving the emotion. Mm-hmm. So she's another good one. Just go to YouTube and look up Byron Katie. So you watch her, like she'll do videos with people and where people walk up and they'll say like what their grievance is, what their judgment is. And it's so funny because every single one of them is like, there was a woman and she was in the grocery store with her husband, and her whole thing was, my husband is always criticizing me for like buying oatmeal or some, you know, he always criticizes my choices or gives me grief about it. And it turned out that it was really her, she was judging herself. Mm-hmm. And that was not at all what her husband was doing. But she saw it that way. It was like completely, it was like a complete distortion. And then once she was able to kind of, I guess, sort of figure it out, like what's really going on, it became more clear. And it was due to those, like the questioning of the belief. Was that true? Can I mm-hmm. absolutely know that it's true?
Right.
This person pisses me off, or, and it doesn't matter what the answers are. I mean, you can be like, yes, this person pisses mm-hmm. me off. And then you start to find out, why am I triggered? Why is this bugging me so bad? So just for fun, like throw on one of her videos and watch. You can literally see when people like see the light. There's this really cool moment where they shift and you're like, ah, awesome.
I'll watch it.
Of this person is spelled?
Byron Katie, yes. Or Katie Byron. I can't remember which
Byron
one it is.
Katie.
I have Byron Katie. Yeah.
So this would be BYRONKATIE?
It's BYRONKATIE. The work.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for that, Mary. Appreciate
there's
that.
One. That's all, I just looked
that's,
it up.
That's
and,
also.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The next book that we will be using after we finish the Four Agreements is Living as God, Nothing is Simpler. Her very first chapter, Winnie, is all about what is all about what was just described. That we take events which are just pure things that happen, and then we ascribe emotions and judgments associated with them that really, it's just an event. For instance, I'll use an example. You and a coworker, you're walking to your same place of business. The coworker goes in into the building first, opens the door, and doesn't hold it for you. It's and lets it slam as you're just about to reach it. And you go to yourself, huh, boy, he really, you know, pisses me off. The nerve of him that he or she didn't hold the door for me. You know, I'm gonna get him. Give him a piece of my mind. You know, so you're building up the whole story around just an event. The person probably didn't even see that you were behind them.
Right. Totally lost in their own world and.
Yeah, going with their thing. So. But thank you for that. I'm going to have to look up Byron Katie. I've heard the name, but I've not seen any of the videos. So thank you for that.
They're good. The people will be like, the one I just saw listed was, I'm afraid of Trump. So she's like, yes, let's do the work on that. You know.
That's very good.
I'll post it. I haven't watched it yet, but it's probably pretty funny.
Oh, God. Anybody else have something to share, insights, or anything? Going once? Going twice? No.
What's our homework?
Okay. Just as an FYI, because of the summer solstice that's coming up, instead of meeting on get my calendar out, I know Mary put something out online, but the instead of meeting on as we normally would do on the 19th, we're going to skip that and meet on the 26th. So this way, if anybody participating in the summer solstice celebrations and stuff. We won't have a conflict. Therefore, what I'd like to do is to go by the next meeting is to finish doing chapter 2 and 3 so of the Four Agreements. Chapter 2, The Power of the Word, has some exercises, practical exercises to do. It's not as many as in the first chapter. The first chapter is really the meaty and labor-intensive, if you will, one. And then Dreaming is the third chapter, and that really doesn't have any practical exercises, but it kind of pulls everything all together between chapter 1 and 2. It does have one practice idea, but again, it's not the in-depth questions that you need to kind of sit quiet for and look at. And then once we do that, we're into part two, which is mastering our transformation, which is pretty cool. Yep.
So it'll be chapters 2 and 3.
Chapter 2 is The Power of the Word, and then chapter 3 is Dreaming.
Okay. So. All right, that's good.
Okay.
All right, I just changed it. can be found under the Gathering tab on the Super Beings homepage under Classes and Workshops. You can read about, just if you need a refresher of what's going on this month, just refer to that page under the Gathering tab, the top. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I know I'm not going to be able to attend physically the summer solstice, but I'm going to be there energetically. So if there is anything that, you know, we can do remotely at a particular space or time, if you, Mary and Jason, could let us know. I know probably a lot of other people would like to just, you know, be able to do it remotely if we can.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, it's actually... I found out the solstice is actually happening on Tuesday, June 20th, and that's going to be for probably East Coast. I think it's going to be rather late. So it would be like, it's basically going to be during Chance's call. And so I was saying that he could start the call a little later. So for like him, it's going to be like, you know, 9:30. Or 9:24 is the actual solstice. And I know that we are going to be, you know, in the Uintas. We won't be getting service where we're camping. We've tried.
Right.
And so we'll just hook up our hands in the way that we do. We do this, like, special, like, hand position where we have our palms touching.
Right.
Like, front to back. And we'll probably give more instructions, but it could just be something that's like visualized where everybody's together, like touching palms in a circle. And if you guys want to get on the call, then I mean, there's no question that whenever we get together, there is like, I mean, this is true with like any high vibe group, but this is definitely true when you add in alchemy and all the tools and stuff that we're doing and the beings that are attracted to that, you know, they're fully aware and probably the ones making us aware of these types of events anyway, but, solstices, eclipses, these are all really auspicious times for influxes of energy downloads and, generating like a powerful amplification. So getting together is, in any way, shape, or form that we can, whether it's through just our voices or in person, is definitely encouraged. So if everybody wants to take a nap and then get together in the call for like 15 minutes for a, you know, mind meld, then definitely go for it. If you can't make it or if it's not your, you know, you have the school night or whatnot, it's totally cool. But, you know, just putting that out there, I've already talked to Chance about it, and he's definitely down. So
that's cool.
We'll release more information as that gets closer.
Okay.
So yeah, right on.
Yep.
That's all.
Well, that's it for me.
Okay.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank all right, much. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, I appreciate everybody sharing and attending and giving me your insights. Have a good night.
Good night.